Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Tezvav. We are in Yud Aleph Beis. We are starting halfway down in the Amud. Rami Seder Yuma Seder Yuma. It's literally halfway down. The Gemara today is going to note discrepancies that exist in the Mishnayos here in Yuma. Mishnah. We're going to do a Mishnah in the first parak, a Mishnah in the second parak, and a Mishnah in the third parak, and slightly variant viewpoints in terms of the Seder HaAvodah, how the general Avodah is done every single day. This is a discussion that we're going to be having today. We're going to be having it a little bit later in the Masechta as well. Most classically, the Gemara coming up on Daf Lama Gimel, right? Just a couple weeks from now, a little bit more, where we're going to get the Seder of the Avodas Hayom. How exactly is going to be the sequence? Now, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic, and that, of course, is the Mishnayos and Tamid. The Mishnayos and Tamid basically is a day in the life. What is the day in the life going to look like in the Beis HaMikdash? So open up a Mishnayos in Tamid, which we did in the Daf Yomi, and you go through it, and you get through exactly what is going to be the sequence. So basically what we're doing over here today, in today's Daf, is we're going to be comparing Mishnayos in Yuma and in Tamid. Well, yesterday, the truth of the matter is that we covered the Mishnah in Tamid. And we noted that the Mishnah in Tamid is not going to be in line with our Mishnah. Okay, but the Gemara says that's fine. That's the Mishnah in Tamid doesn't have to be in agreement with the Mishnah in Yuma. In fact, when all said and done, the Gemara said yesterday that our Mishnayos follow a different Tana's viewpoint than the Mishnayos in Tamid. The Mishnayos in Tamid is one Tana, and our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of a different Tana. Specifically, Rabbi Shimon Ish Mitzpah. So is the Mishnayos here in Yuma. Fine. So the fact that the Mishnayos in Yuma and the Mishnayos in Tamid are not in perfect alignment with one another. Okay, so various Tanaim have different viewpoints. However, the Gemara now is going to start off a discussion which is going to take us halfway through today's daf, and that is that the Mishnayos in Yuma are not consistent. That's problematic, and that definitely is going to require clarification. And that's what we're going to be doing for the first half of today's daf. In the second half of today's daf, we're going to be going through the Mishnah and the Braisa that we went through yesterday in Masechta Tamid. And really, we're for the second half of today's daf, we're going to be explaining the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh, who has a really interesting opinion as it relates to how the dam is done regarding the carbon tamid. It's not done like a standard carbon ola. Why isn't it done like a standard carbon ola? So we didn't explain that yesterday. Today, we're going to get a little bit of a better understanding in terms of why that should be. And that's today's daf. In a nutshell, we start off. So the Gemara now notes the discrepancies that exist in the Mishnayos and Yuma. Rami Seder Yuma, Seder Yuma. So you could stay right here in Masechta Yuma, and you'll notice that there are discrepancies. We learned, and this is now a Mishnah coming up in the second paragraph. This is Daf Chafei. Now let's remind each other, before we do the Mishnah and Daf Chafei, let's remind each other the Mishnah that we did in yesterday's Daf. Look at the Mishnah back in yesterday's Daf, Yudal Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah says that when, in general, the Kohen Gadol, so he could do any avodah that he wants. Ushar kol ayamim, sorry, back it up, the beginning of the Mishnah, kol shivas ayamim, for all 7 days, who zarek is adam, he's going to be sprinkling the blood, who makhtir sa kataris, and he'll be burning kataris, who meitiv as aneros, and he'll do atavas aneros, the cleaning out of the menorah. So in our Mishnah, it's really clear that first you have the kataris, then you have the menorah. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah couldn't be any clearer in terms of the sequence. Good. It's not in line with the Mishnah in Tamid, but that's yesterday's discussion. Today's discussion is that it's not in line with the Mishnayos in Yuma. And now going back to our Gemara, so let's pick it up right there. So we just went over our Mishnah here on Yudalid, and now the Mishnah on Chafei did not. The Mishnah says, Pais HaSheni. So we're going to do a second lottery. We're going to learn later in this Masechta, there are four lotteries that occur every single morning. Again, under normal circumstances, meaning if it's not Yom Kippur. If it's Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing everything. But on a non-Yom Kippur day, meaning the rest of the year, so there are going to be four lotteries in total. The first lottery is for the Trumas Hadeshen. Who's going to be receiving Trumas Hadeshen? And then the second lottery is going to be for, basically, the rest of the Avoda. So the rest of the Avoda, so then what's lottery three and what's lottery four? So stay tuned. We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta. But anyway, the second lottery, Pais HaSheni Mishochir is going to be doing the Shechita, Mizorik, the Zrika, Mimadash Mizbech HaPanimi, the cleaning out of the inner Mizbeach, Mimadash and Samenorah, cleaning out the menorah, Mimale Ivarim Lekeves, the taking of the parts of the carbon ola and putting it up on the ramp. And Pais HaShlishi Chadosh Lekitaris Bao Veifisu. Now, as far as the third Pais is concerned, so that is going to be for the determination of who's going to be doing the Kataris. And here, if you never won the lottery for doing the Kataris, so you get to now be eligible and be a candidate in order to do the Pai Shlishi, the third lottery. Rashi over here writes, and it's rather famous, why are we having people for the third lottery who never won before? So Rashi writes over here, it's the first really wide line on the Amud. So Kohanim Sholikir Katoris Miyamim Yiskapsu Kulam Lakan Legora La Katoris. So we're talking about Kohanim who never were Makter Katoris before. They never got the chance to burn the Katoris. And we're going to see this later in our Masecht on Daf Chavav, where the Gemara is going to say that no one ever got to burn Ketores twice. And Rashi goes on, Lefisha Isa Me'asheres, because it was a Segula. Okay, so I know Segulas have gained a lot more popularity, certainly in the recent history, but this is probably the first Segula of the Torah. And that is that if you have an opportunity to be Makter Ketores, so you're going to get Osher, you're going to get wealth. So you take a couple psukim in Zosa Bracha, you put them together, and it's as long as you make this hekesh, so you understand that the burning of the Ketores is going to lead to Osher. Okay, that's the skula of this morning, right? That's an old school skula based on psukim in the Torah, and that's the coin in terms of the Ketores. Anyway, but not to be that right, not to be too hypnotized by the skula, but meanwhile, what comes out from all this? Well, Rashi over here spells it out. Meaning, in the second lottery, so that's going to be the determination of who's going to be doing the Ketores, and it's not just a lottery, it's also going to actually be played out, meaning that the Kohen is going to be cleaning out all the Neros, and then the third lottery is going to be the Ketores. So in the Mishnah Chafetz, Neros followed by Ketores. And so now in Yuma, meaning not Mishnah Yisun Tamid, in Yuma, we now have a stira. The Mishnah in Yudalit says Ketores followed by Neros. The Mishnah Chafetz says Neros followed by Ketores. So that obviously presents a problem. What we're going to do now for half of today's daf is we're going to try to answer up the problem. And we're going to give two basic approaches. One of Abai and the other one is of Rav Papa. So first let's start off with Abai's approach. Amar Abai Lokasha. Kamba Atavis Shtei Neros, Kamba Atavis Chamesh Neros. So Abai says, look, we hear something else that we're going to be learning later on. And that is that there's a Hatavas Aneris, the cleaning out of the wicks on in the morning. And it's not all seven of the menorahs, of the branches of the menorah are not all done together in one consecutive cleaning, but rather it's going to be broken up to five and two. So, and Rashi over here writes, Gamet Beperek Shlishi, Arminashe, Masik Ba'atavas Aneris, Mishahetiv Chamesh Posek. So first five of the branches are going to be cleaned out, and then there's going to be an interlude. And now you're going to do another avod in between, and then you're going to do the last two. So there's going to be five branches cleaned out, then some sort of interlude with something in the middle. Now that's something, well, why doesn't Rashi describe it right now, what that something is? You'll see why in just a moment. And then we're going to go back, and the Kohen's going to clean out the other two. Let's get this out of the way right now, just in terms of what's happening with the menorah in the morning. Okay, it's a much lengthier discussion, but just we'll say it now, and we're not going to elaborate. But the menorah is lit at night. Okay, that part's clear. We're going to have a brisa later today that describes how the menorah is lit at night. Well, it was lit right before the night. It was literally the last avodah that was done during the day, and then the menorah was lit over the course of the night. I'm about to say it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. Meaning, it's not illuminating, you know, right? No one's getting benefit from the light, but it makes sense that it's dark and you light the menorah. In that regard, it makes sense. You light the menorah at night, and what do you do in the morning? So the Torah is not totally clear. The Torah says vehetiv es aneros. Now vehetiv doesn't translate well in terms of what that means, right? So the general assumption is, and this is all the Rishonim, no, sorry, not all. This is most of the Rishonim, and it happens to be Rashi and Chumash. You open up a Chumash and you read Rashi over there. Rashi's of this position. And that is that in the morning, you're cleaning out the menorah. The Torah's instructions in the morning of a Hetiv Hasaneros means you just simply clean it out. Meaning it was burning the whole night. It's, you know, it gets dirty, right? Go back to Hanukkah and remember how the menorah looks after it's burnt. So it's dirty. So they clean it out. They clean it out every morning. The mitzvah in the Torah of Atavas Aneros is the cleaning out of the menorah. So for as you probably noticed, as I've been explaining it up until now, so Vehetiv Hasaneros is cleaning it out. That's what they did in the morning. So that's Ruba de Ruba. That's most of the Rishonim. And then there's a really interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes that in the morning, you know what you would do with the menorah? You would light the menorah. You light the menorah at night, and you light the menorah in the morning as well. So the Rambam is of the Shita that the menorah has to be lit all the time. There's a mitzvah to light it at night and put enough oil to last through the night. In fact, we're going to see a brisa later this morning that gives very clear instruction that the amount of oil that you put in is to last overnight. And then in the morning, so according to the Rambam, what you're going to do is you're going to clean it out, but you're then going to relight so that the menorah is lit all the time. That's the Shita of the Rambam. Again, it is a much longer, lengthier discussion. How does he arrive at that conclusion? What Gemara would indicate that this is in fact so? That's the Shita of the Rambam. That is generally speaking, not the accepted viewpoint. Again, this is not Halach Lamaisa. We haven't had a Beis HaMikdash for 2 millennia, and Bimhera B'Yameinu, we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. It's not Halach Lamaisa, but it is, in fact, a really fundamental debate in terms of whether or not the menorah was lit during the daytime. Fine. So, good. Just put that aside. It's not today's. It is today's daf, but it's not part of the actual Gemara itself. And from this point going forward, I'll just simply say, in the morning, you clean out the menorah, like Rashi. And quite frankly, like most of the Rishonim, right? The Rashba clearly writes that he's in agreement with Rashi. Anyway, so with that stated, so Abai now is going to be giving the first answer, and that's the following. And that is that there is no inconsistency in the Mishnayos and Yuma. You just have to know an important detail, which is they cleaned out five branches in the morning. They took a break, and then they cleaned out the other two. Oh, so now, so lo kash kama tavish sheneiros kama tavish chamish neiros la meimer de bekatoros mafsik lehu. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. Now the answer only works when you make one small assumption, not small, and that is that what's the interlude? What do you do between the cleaning of the five and two branches? So what you're going to be doing is the katoros. Now again, that's not perfectly clear, and as we're going to see in just a moment, it's a machlokas. But once you make that assumption, so then everything works out great. Meaning that, what is Hatavas and Eros? First, it's five branches that you clean out, then you burn Ketaris, and then you clean out two branches. So there's one Mishnah that says Ketaris followed by Neros? Yeah. Ketaris followed by the last two Neros. There's another Mishnah, Chafei, that says Neros followed by Ketaris? Yeah, there's the cleaning out of the five Neros followed then by the Ketaris. So it works out beautifully, but that's, of course, if you're assuming that the interlude between five and two is going to be the Ketaris. Now, it happens to be that we're going to see one of the more famous Gemaras coming up in Yuma and Daf Lamed Gimel, which the Gemara is going to quote right now, which is that Abaye has a very clear Mesorah in terms of what is exactly the Seder Ayom. The Ha'abaye Mesorah D'Marach Mishmei D'Gemara. Now, the next words, which we're going to see later on, is Aliba D'Abashal, right? The reason why it's so famous is because it's put in the Nusach of the Seder in the Gemara. I'm sorry, in the Gemara. In the Karbanos in the morning. Meaning in the morning, prior to Pesukah de Zimra, so we have a number of avoda passages that we say. We say Pesukim in regarding the Karban Tamid. We learn all the Mishnayos in the fifth parak of Zvachim. And then we also do, and I don't want to give the impression that I say Karbanos every day. I should be saying Karbanos every day. I said enough times where I get it basically. So, and over there, you have a Abaye's version of what the Seder Avoda was every day. And it's based on the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Gimel, and the Gemara now is quoting an excerpt, and that is V'habayim Masada Marachim Mishmei the Gemara B'dama Tamid Mafsik Lahu. Now it happens to be that when we see it, now this is Abaye's version. Abaye's version is that you're going to do five, you're going to clean out five branches of the menorah, and then you're going to pause, and you're going to have an interlude. What's that interlude? Abaye says the interlude is the Dam Tamid, meaning you shech the carbon tamid, you sprinkle the blood on the mizbech. That's the interlude between five and two. So the not the Ketores. So Abaye's answer is a wonderful answer, but only if you assume that the interlude is going to be the burning of the Ketores. But it happens to be that Abaye's opinion is that the interlude is the offering of the dam of the carbon tamid. Then obviously it's a problem. So Amri lo kasha ha'hila abashol l'rabbanu. So the Gemara says, okay, Abaye and Daf Lamed Gimel is telling us what the Seder Ayom would be according to Abashol. Now, why Abaye elects to go with Abishal, so that's a curiosity, and I don't really have a good explanation why, but he does. And over here, so in terms of explaining the Mishnayos and Yuma, so simply say that we're not going like Abishal, but rather we're going like the Chachamim. D'Tanya, and here the Gemara now quotes the Braisa. Lo yitav es haneros v'achakach yaktir. So the Braisa says that don't clean out the Neros, and then afterwards do the Ketoros, ela yaktir v'achakach yitav. So, but rather what you should do is that first you should burn the Ketoros and afterwards you clean out the menorah. Abishal Omer, Meitiv Acha Kach Maktir. And Abishal is of the opinion that first you're Meitiv, first you clean out all the menorahs, all seven branches, and afterwards you do the Haktara. That's the opinion of Abishal. So later on Lamed Gimel, Abai is giving us the order according to Abishal. Here, to iron out the Mishnayos here in Yuma, so the Mishnayos are going like the Sheet of the Chachamim. And again, of course, it's mistaber. It makes a lot of sense that the Stam Mishnayos are going like the Chachamim, not like Abishal. And as long as we're here, as long as we just went through the machlokas between Abishal and the Chachamim, in terms of when the Ketor should be done, so the Gemara says, my time at Abishal. So what's the reason of Abishal? Why is it that the burning of the Ketor only occurs after you clean out all seven branches? So, Dichsiv, Baboker, Baboker, Beitivos, and Eros. So first the Torah says that you clean out the Neros, that's Atavas and Eros, Vahadu, Yakti, Renan, and afterwards you do the Ketoros. Meaning Abishal, it seems unbelievably reasonable, and that is, just follow the instructions of the Torah. The Torah says, first Atavas and Eros, the cleaning out of the menorah, and then afterwards you burn the Ketoros. It's pretty clear sequencing of the Torah. V'rabbanan mai kama rachmana. So, and as far as the Chachamim are concerned, look, they're obviously working with the same psukim, but here's how they're going to explain the psukim. And that is, as we turn now to the top of Tesvav Amin Aleph, Be'idan Hatava, Te Makter Ketoros. While you're cleaning out the menorah, that's when you're going to be burning Ketoros. Meaning that it's not after, but it's during. Now, that's funny. What does that mean, during? So you can't do two things at the same time. So we go back to what we said just moments earlier, that you're going to be first cleaning out five of the menorahs, you'll stop, so now you're in the middle of Hatavas and Eros, and then you're going to be burning Ketoros, and then you'll finish it off. And that's what the Torah means when it says the Yakti Renam. So the Elote Ma'achi, and the Gemara says, and look, it really, you have to say this, because if you don't say this, Bein Arabayim Dichsiv, because let's move to the afternoon. We're in the afternoon. There's also going to be the burning of the Ketoros. And the Torah says over there, Va'alos Aronos Aneros Ben Arbaim Yaktirenu. Now over there, we have almost the identical structure in the afternoon, which is that the Torah says that as Aaron is lighting the menorah, so then Yaktirenu, you're going to be burning Ketoros. Now, Hachinami Debresha Madlik Neros Vahadar Makter Ketoros Ben Arbaim. So, and for a moment, what do you want to think? You really want to propose it in the afternoon. So the first thing you're going to be doing is that you're going to be lighting the menorah, and then afterwards you're going to be burning Ketoros. Do you really think that that's the pshat in the pasuk? It can't possibly be the pshat in the pasuk in the afternoon. V'chite ma'achinami. And the Gemara says, well, maybe it is the pshat. The Gemara says it's not the pshat. V'atanya, because we learned in the following brisa. Me'erev ad boker. So hopefully this sounds somewhat familiar. We did this back in Pesachim. So the Torah says, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Torah says me'erev ad boker. It's going to be lit from the night until the morning. Tein la midasa. So first of all, the amount of oil. So the amount of oil has got to be a generous amount of oil, enough so that it lasts the whole night. As we know, there are seasons, as we know. So the time, the amount of nighttime there is, fluctuates based on the season. So in the summertime, night is short. In the wintertime, night is long. So you got to put enough oil in so that it will last a winter night and not just a summer night. Rashi over here writes, it's a really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, and you're always going to be using that much oil. Meaning, even in the summer night, you're going to be using a winter night's worth of oil. Now, Rashi says, obviously in the summer night, so you're going to have leftover oil in the morning. So Rashi says, okay, so be it. So that's Rashi. Happens to be, Tosfos Rishonim, right here in our daf. So he says, no. He says, he starts off like Rashi. You're going to use the winter nights of oil every single night, which by the way, Rashi says it's going to be chatzilug per branch, per cup in the menorah. So you're going to use the winter nights oil every single night. But even in the summer though, it'll burn by the morning. It's not going to go longer. How does that happen? So Tosfos Yeshanim says because you're going to adjust the thickness of the wicks. In the wintertime, the wicks are going to be really thin, and so therefore the oil is going to be burning for a longer duration. In the summertime, the wicks are going to be a lot thicker, so that means the oil is going to burn faster. And obviously you need precision over here, and you need somebody who knows how to make wicks. It happens to be back in Shkalim, just not so long ago, so we talked about that there was an executive officer who was in charge of the wicks. And according to the Tosfos Yeshanim, it makes a lot of sense, meaning good. So the adjustment of the wicks really required precision. And based on the season that it was. Okay, wonderful. Anyway, so that's number one. Number one is the amount of oil that goes into the cups. So a full night's worth of oil. And then Me'er Vad Boker, Me'er Vad Boker. Davar Acher, and another pshan the pasuk is Me'er Vad Boker, Ein L'chavod, Shekshir Me'er Vad Boker, Ela Zubovad. This is the only avoda that's done from night until morning. Meaning, nighttime, the Beis HaMikdash shuts down. There's no avoda done at night. With notable exception to the menorah. Meaning the menorah is the last thing you're doing at the day, and then in the morning, you're going to be resuming regular avoda. Okay, good. So basically, the Beis HaMikdash shuts down, but we don't turn off the light. In fact, just the opposite. We leave the lights on. In fact, we turn the lights on, if you will. So the, what comes out clearly over here, according to this Braisa, is that the lighting of the menorah is the last thing that happens in the day. So now I go back to the pasuk that we just quoted, Valos, Aronis, and Eres, Bein Arabai, Me'aktirena. So clearly over there, the Ketores is not being burned after the menorah. The Ketores is being burned before the conclusion of the menorah. So Ella, my Kama Rachmana, the Gemara spells this out. The Idan Hadlaka, Te'e Me'aktir Ketores, that while you're lighting the menorah, so light the five branches, then pause, interlude. The interlude is going to be the burning of the Ketores, and then afterwards, you're going to be lying, the last two. So hachinami, so that's in the afternoon. And there's nothing to discuss about that. That's clear. So the chachamim now say, okay, so you take that very model where you start five menorahs, pause for Ketores, then do the last two menorahs, that's nighttime. So take that very same structure and move it to the morning. So hachinami, b'idan atavatei makter Ketores. So that's what you're going to be doing in the morning as well. So all this goes well for the shita of the chachamim. Okay, and again, our Mishnayos and Yuma are following that Shita. And you're going to be seeing discrepancies in the Mishnayos and Yuma, but it works out perfectly. Because it is menorah, Ketores, menorah, according to the Chachamim. Now, v'Abishal amar lecha, shani hasam dechsev oso. So Abishal will tell you, look, I'm not ready to argue with you in terms of what happens in the late afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash. You're absolutely right. It's going to be the menorah, interlude, Ketores, followed then by menorah. I'm not prepared to argue with you, but I'm totally prepared to argue with you about the morning. I wanted to just simply, like the Chachamim said, take the structure of the afternoon and move it to the morning. Abu Shaul says that when it comes to the afternoon, it says, Oso. Oso is a miut. Oso is telling us that this is only done in the afternoon, not in the morning. Okay, so the machlokus between Abu Shaul and the Chachamim in terms of what the proper sequencing is of the Ketores and the menorah, anyway, but just to make the Gemara here like a little bit more streamlined. So basically now, the Mishnah is here in Yuma, Mishnah here on Yadal, the Mishnah in Chafei, giving us different sequences of Ketores followed by Neros, Neros followed by Ketores. So how does it all work? So it works out perfectly according to the Chachamim. Because every single morning, according to the Chachamim, you're gonna clean out five of the menorahs. You're then gonna burn Ketores. You're then gonna clean out the last two of the branches of the menorah. So that's good. So now when these Mishnayos are giving us various views of what we're talking about, so just know that in general, according to the Chachamim, it's cleaning out five Neros, followed by Ketores, and then cleaning out the last two, and that's why there is no discrepancy. It's just each of the Mishnahs is just giving us a little section of what is to be done, but the big picture is what we just described. That is all now going to be Abaye's answer of how to deal with the Mishnayos and Yuma. That we're almost done with part one of today's daf. Rav Papa's going to give a different answer. Rav Papa's answer, we're prepared for. We're totally prepped for Rav Papa's answer because we know that there's a machlokus between the Chachamim and Abishol. Rav Papa Amar Lokasha, Ha Rabbanan Ha Abishol. So the Mishnah over here on Yudalid, following the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim's viewpoint is that it's going to be Ketores, followed then by the cleaning of the last two of the last two branches. That's our Mishnah here in Yudalid. The Mishnah in Chafei is going like Abishol. It's that simple, according to Rav Papa. So Ha Rabbanan Ha Abishol. So Bamai Kimtel Masisin Da'achle K'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, okay. So let me see if I get this straight. The Mishnah Yudal is going like the Chachamim. The Mishnah Chafei is going like Abishol. So Pais K'Abishol Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, sorry, let me read that again. So Bamai Kimta Lemasisin Da'achle K'Rabbanan. pious, the Mishnah of pious, meaning the Mishnah Chavhei Kabashal. So Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? We're going to now introduce the third Mishnah. So the Mishnah Yedal is the first parak. The Mishnah Chavhei is the second parak. And now there's also another Mishnah coming up on Lamed Aleph. That's the third parak. It's easy to remember, right? The Yud is the first parak, Chav is the second parak, then the Lamed is the third parak. What about a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph? Now, the Mishnah over there says, Evilos HaTamid, so they bring him the Karban Tamid. We're talking now about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. As we already pointed out, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to be doing all the Avodah. Even the Avodahs that are not specific to Yom Kippur, meaning the Karban Tamid, the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing it. The mitzvah on Yom Kippur is that the Kohen Gadol is involved in every single one of the Avodahs. Rashi writes it even stronger. Rashi writes over here, I'm reading the Rashi Divrei HaMaskil Kartzo, the end of the Rashi, Shekol Avodas Yom Kippurim Eino Ksheira Elabo. Rashi says that the only one who's eligible to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur is going to be the Kohen Gadol. No other Kohen is allowed to do the Avodah in Yom Kippur. Okay, good. Anyway, so we're going to be seeing a Mishnah later on Lamed Aleph in the Mishnah there, in the Mishnah there writes, and we're quoting it. Hey, Vielos HaTamid, they bring him the Karban Tamid, Kartzo. He shechs most of the Samanim, not all of the Samanim. Umarak Acher, Shechita Al Yado. Someone else is going to finish the final touches of the Shechita of the Karban Tamid. And now, Nechnas Lahakter Sekitaris, and now he's going to be burning Kitaris, meaning the Kohen Gadol, and Hetif is a Neros. And then he's going to be cleaning out the Neros. Okay. And we're going to talk later in the Masech, we don't have to belabor the point right now. Why is he only cutting the majority of the Samanim? Why is another Kohen finishing up the job? We'll talk about it later on. I don't want to belabor the point right now. Anyway, it's a Mishnah in the third parak. Now, the Mishnah in the third parak is going like whom? It's going like the Shita of the Chachamim, clearly. It's Ketaris followed then by Menorah. And when we say how tough is a Menorah, we mean the cleaning out the last two candles, the last two branches. Fine. It's clearly going like the Chachamim, Asan L'Rabbanan. So now what does that mean? I have a Mishnah here in Yom in the first parak, a Mishnah in the second parak, a Mishnah in the third parak. And now according to Rav Papa, you Rav Papa, so here's how it's all going according to you. Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan, the Mishnayos in the first and third parak are going like the Chachamim, and Mitzias Abashal, and the Mishnah in the second parak is going like Abashal, and basically it's a roller coaster, here in these Mishnayos, right? We're going Chachamim, Abashal, Chachamim, like that's unbelievably inconsistent. You think Rabbi Huda Anasi would do that? Would just be following opt with the sheet of the Chachamim, follow them by Abishal, follow them back by the Chachamim. That's really strange. So I'm lechavra papa in Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan Mitzias Abishal. So the question was like, that doesn't happen. And Rav Papa's answer is, it happens. Okay, obviously there's got to be a lot more to this back and forth over here, meaning the questioner obviously thought that's just untenable, and Abishal says, nah, it's that could be a style of Rabbi Huda Anasi. There's much more to the question, to the answer over here, but we'll just leave it over here. We're learning the daf right now. So Bishlam Abai Lo Amakar Papa. So I understand that Abai doesn't agree with Rav Papa. Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan Mitzias Abishal Lo Mukimla. So now we already know why Abai didn't like this answer. Abai didn't like the roller coaster ride of Chachamim, Abishal, Chachamim. So you already know why Abaye does not appreciate this approach of Rav Papa. But El Rav Papa, my time alo amar ka Abaye. But why doesn't Rav Papa give Abaye's answer? Abaye's answer seems to be excellent, which is that the Mishnayos over here are really following the sheet of the Chachamim, and you clean out five with an interlude of Ketaris, you clean out two, and now the various Mishnayos are just giving us various aspects of the Avodah, but it's really one coherent picture. So, Amlecha, Tanabresha, Atavish Te Neros, Vahada, Atavish Chamish Neros. And so, but Rav Papa would say to Abaye, look, I love your answer, but I would have loved it more if it went in the correct order. Because remember, what is it? It's first the cleaning out of five menorahs, then the Ketaris, then the cleaning out of two menorahs. So if you're right, so then, what we should have is first the Mishnah Chavhei, which is Neros, Ketaris, and then the Mishnah Yedalid, which is Ketaris followed by Neros. Meaning, I would have loved your answer a lot more had the Mishnah faithfully given us a sequence as it actually happens. But that's not the case. The Mishnah here in Yedalid is Ketaris Neros, meaning the last two, and the Mishnah Chavhei is the first five followed then by the Ketaris. So according to you, the Mishnahs are out of order. And what Abaye says back to Rav Papa is, no, you don't understand. The Mishnah in Yudalad is not here to give a sequence. The real purpose of yesterday's Mishnah was just simply to tell us that the Kohen Gadol every single day of the 7 days in preparation of Yom Kippur, so he'd be practicing. Meaning that's all the Mishnah in Yudalad is there coming to do. It just tells us that the Kohen Gadol is practicing for those 7 days. That's the goal of yesterday's daf. That's the goal of yesterday's Mishnah. So don't read yesterday's Mishnah so critically and so carefully. Ooh, look at the order. The order is a little bit strange. Don't do that. Yesterday's daf was just all about practice and how important it is that the Kohen Gadol's got to practice. Now, when you get to the Mishnah Chafei, now read the Mishnah carefully in terms of sequence. And now it works out great. Because the Mishnah Chafei says that what we're going to do is, first we're going to we're in the morning. First we're going to clean the Neiros, the five in the morning, followed then by burning of the Ketores, and then you get to the Mishnah Lamed Aleph, and now, good. Now perfect. The Mishnah Lamed Aleph talks about how we're going to first light the Ketores, which we already did, but it's kind of like picking it up right there, and then we're going to do Atafas and Eros, notably the last two. That's how Abaye would explain the sequencing of the Mishnayos on Yudalid, Chafei, and Lamed Aleph. Yudalid is just, it's not there for sequencing. It's just there to tell us that the Kohen Gadol is practicing. And then Chafei and Lamed Aleph, that sequence. Okay. And that's the first half of today's daf. And basically, it was trying to make alignment of the Mishnayos and Yuma in terms of what the Seder Hayom was. Good. Adkan. Second half of today's daf begins now, right? I know there's a lot more of the Amud Aleph, but basically this is part two of today's daf. Gufa, we're going to go back to what we said yesterday, the carbon tamid and the sprinkling of the blood. Look, it's a carbon ola, every tamid, both the morning and the afternoon. And as such, the sprinkling of the blood is done like a standard carbon ola. Now, what's the sprinkling of the blood of the standard carbon ola? Shtaim, shame dalid. You know, what you're going to do is two applications on the two opposing corners of the mizbeach, the outer mizbeach. So the Kohen went after having collected the blood of the tamid shel shachar, and the same thing is true of the tamid shel bein arbaim. He's going to take the coast that's filled, the kli sharis that's filled with blood. He's going to go first to the northeast corner of the mizbeach. He's going to do an application on the corner, for technical purposes, I'll point out now, it's going to be the lower half of the Mizbech, not the upper half of the Mizbech. It's a carbon ola. Carbon chatos is the application is done in the upper half of the Mizbech, more specifically the chronos of the Mizbech. But over here, he's going to be sprinkling on the lower half of the Mizbech. Then the Kohen is going to be taking the blood and move now to the southwest. And the southwest corner, he's going to be doing an application, which is obviously going to cover the southern wall and the western wall, but he's doing it in one application. And that's how a standard carbon ola is done. According to the Mishnah and Tamid, the carbon Tamid is no different. It is a carbon ola, and it's going to be done exactly in that process. And we did the Mishnah yesterday of Tamid, so let's just quickly review it again. The Gemara here quotes it, Gufa. So let's go back to that Mishnah. Ba'ala l'karim mizrach etzvon is east, the northeast corner. No same mizrach etzvon is with an application in the northeast corner. Obviously, with that one application hitting the two walls of the north and the east, and my Ravish drum is, now you go to the southwest corner, no same my Ravish drum is with another application, a second application, which is obviously hitting the southern and the western wall of the Mizbeach. That's the Mishnah and Tamid. Now, Tini Allah. Now there's a Brisa. Now we saw this Brisa yesterday. Now, but the Gemara now wants to review and revisit and analyze a little bit more. And the Brisa quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Mishana B'Tamid. And he would make a shinui, a slight deviation to the carbon tamid. The why he does so, why he feels that way, we're going to get to in today's daf. But a slight deviation. And that is, balo l'karim mizrach etzvonis, nosim mizrach etzvonis. So it starts the same. Go to northeast corner with one application, northeast corner. So far, that's exactly as the Mishnah Tamid describes. However, my Ravish drum is, now you go to the southwest corner, and here's now where the deviation occurs. Nosim my Rava, first hit the western wall, then you're going to hit the southern wall. So according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, three applications. One in the northeast, and then another two in the southwest, where one on the south, one on the west. Right? Huh? Okay, so so what happened over there? So my time of the Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, So what's behind the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Ishim Mitzvah? The Tanakhama, the Mishnah Tami, doesn't need much of an explanation. In other words, the carbon Tami is a carbonola, and it's going to follow the avoda of a standard carbonola. That's good. But according to Rabbi Shimon Ishim Mitzvah, what is going on over there? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Chad Debe Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes one of the Bnei HaYeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Amakra. So we're going to be basing it off of Pesukim. So here we are in Parshas Pinchas, going through the Karbanos. So firstly, in the Parsha, in Perichav Ches, first an introduction of the Tamishel Shachar and the Tamishel Bein Arabayim. Good. And we lane it every Rosh Chodesh. Those who say Karbanos read it every morning. And then, the very next parsha actually talks about the Musaf of Shabbos. The very next parsha after that talks about the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And there, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, so aside from there being additional carbonolas, there's also going to be Si'ir Izim Echal Lachatas. There's also going to be Echatas on Rosh Chodesh, right? Back in Shavuos, we spent a lot of time going over why specifically there's a carbon Chatas on Rosh Chodesh. But there is. And then, reading the pasuk really carefully, series in Mechal Lachatas Hashem, Al Olas HaTamid Ye'aseh, Vinisko, period. So the Torah says that the carbon Chatas of Rosh Chodesh is going to be in addition to the carbon Tamid. Now, it's a really, if you just think about it, in other words, just without our Gemara, it's really funny that the carbon Chatas is in addition to the carbon Tamid. Every one of the carbon musafs of Rosh Chodesh is in addition to the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is daily, by definition, right? It's tamid. So the fact that the Torah says, you know, the chatas is in addition to the carbon tamid, so it makes you really think, it makes you wonder, why does the Torah do that? Okay, so it's a great question. The Gemara now is going to give one answer, notably, according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So, Olahi, what the Torah there is basically telling us is that the carbon tamid, despite the fact that it is a carbon ola, and it has the and it has the dynamics of a carbon ola, but it's not a standard carbon ola. It's an adjusted carbon ola. So olahi v'amarachman avid be ma'isachatas. And what the Torah is telling us is you know what? Throw in a little bit of chatas. The ola now is going to be not the ola in general. The ola of the carbon tamid is going to be a carbon ola, but just with a little bit of a chatas personality to it. Okay. I know it sounds strange. Meaning, generally speaking, right, especially if you've been through Seder Kachim, you know that each category of the carbonus is one of the most systematic rules that we have in halacha. I'm not sure if that's a fair statement. I may have to take it back. I may have to take it back. I didn't mean to be so controversial, but it really is. It's systemized. It's organized. You have, and the categories, I mean, they're really hard categories. And this idea now that we're going to have a blended carbon of Ola Chatas, it really is. I mean, if you just have basic knowledge of Kachim and Karbanos, like you really understand that this is novel. This is something that we don't normally see. I'll go a step further. I can't think of it. I can't think of another case where you have this blended carbon, that you have a carbon that's a carbonola, but you know what? Throw in a little bit of carbon chatas into it. Okay. And mind you, by the way, that this is only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, meaning our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Tamid, obviously doesn't hold this way. And what they're, of course, going to have to do is explain the pasuk, but that's not for today. For today, what we're going to be doing for the rest of today's daf is just go over the shita of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So that's how he understands the pasuk. Throw a little chatas into the carbon tamid. So haketsa. Now, how do you do that? So nosin achashish time kamasa ola. So the first application in the northeast is going to be like a standard ola. It's one application hitting two walls, and then shtayim kamasa chatas. Now, when you go to the southwest, so you know what? You do want to take on the personality of the carbon chatas. So we know what is the outstanding personality of the carbon chatas. You're hitting all four corners of the mizbeach. So over here, when I get to my second application, so you know how I invest it with a little chatas personality? I'm going to be hitting, I'm going to be doing two applications for that second corner. The Gemara is going to make your point. That's excellent. So, v'litein shtayim shein arba kamasa ola, v'arba shein arba kamasa chatas. So the Gemara says, look, if you want to give this duality to the carbon tamid of ola chatas, I got this great idea, says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to throw out a number of suggestions. So first, the Gemara suggests, well, why don't we do the following? Why don't we go around with the blood and do two applications in the two opposing corners like the carbonola? And then, why don't we go around second time, all right, hakafa beis, if you will, and let's do now the four corners. So the Gemara says, Lama tzino damim shemechapim v'chozumim mechapim. The Gemara says, that's unprecedented. Now, it's a funny answer, by the way, because we're in unprecedented territory to begin with. So the Gemara says, that's way out there. Now, we're not going to do that. You're not going to sprinkle and resprinkle. Well, who does that? So the Gemara says, "V'chi matzino damin shechetzin chatos vechetzin ola," and that's exactly the Gemara. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Well, look, you're already out there. you're treating this carbon like a chatos and an ola. So, but ella adkan hikish nakasav hachinami barkarchan hikish nakasav. So I'm sorry. So ella adkarcha hikish nakasav. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know why we're in precedented territory? Because the Torah tells us that the carbon tamid has an element of chatzos. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. The Torah tells us that it's a duality. So the Gemara says, hachinami, ba'karchani kisha kasuf. So the Gemara says, look, once we're out there, so then let it fly. Like you're bothered by the fact that we don't resprinkle. I got news for you. We're in unprecedented Torah territory. So let it go, resprinkle. So the Gemara says, Hasan Pisuk Matanas Baalmehi. So the Gemara says, look, there's deviation and then there's deviation. Meaning if I'm going to the opposing corner and instead of doing it in one application, I do it in two applications, like when all said and done, like how badly did we deviate? It wasn't that bad. But if you're going around the Mizbech two times over, all right, Hakafa Aleph, Hakafa Beis, like that's out there. That's too far out there. Okay. Gemara now makes Ben's suggestion. Well, look, if you want to really inject it with the personality of the carbon chatos, I got this idea now for the second application. And that is, don't do it on the lower half of the mizbech, do it on the upper part of the mizbech, like we would do with the carbon chatos. So, lo matzino damen shechetzi lamala v'chetzi lamata. So the Gemara says, once again, you're too far out there. Right? A carbon where part of it's going to be going above the chuta sikra, that's the midline of the mizbech, and part of it going below the chuta sikra, that's totally unprecedented. We don't do that. The hatanan. The Gemara says, you know, we do have a Mishnah, and that is, he's a mimeno achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Okay, when we get to the avodas yom kippurim, later in our masechta, so we're going to be talking about achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Okay, we're all familiar. We write with this Baruch Hashem, the nusach of Yom Kippur and the avoda, the section of the avoda. So it really trains us in terms of we all basically know what the avoda of Yom Kippur looks like, aside from the fact that we have psukim in the Torah as well. But really the avodas Hayom and Yom Kippur really gives a detailed account, as does the Mishnayos here in Yuma, obviously. But now the Sheva Lamala, Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, so the Gemara now is assuming means that one sprinkling is going to be done above and seven are going to be done below. That's what we think right now. And so you're telling me it's unprecedented? What do you mean it's unprecedented? On Yom Kippur we do it. But the Gemara says, no, Kimat Slif. The Gemara says, no, you really misunderstood. In fact, the Tosfos over here is so bothered. Like, how does the Gemara for a moment think that we don't know how to do the sprinkling of the avodah of Yom Kippur? But anyway, kimat slif. So the Gemara says, no, it's like lashes that are given, right? My kimat slif. So machvi Rav Yehuda kiman gida. So it's like when somebody gets malchus. Rashi over here gives a description. You know, when you give malchus, so the Mishnayos and malchus go through the procedure of how somebody receives his lashes. So it's going to be a maximum of 39, and it's going to be some on the front and some on the back. Okay, when the shlech basin hits, so he shouldn't be hitting the same place exactly the same time. Should be spreading them out a little bit. It's gonna hurt, but in other words, but spread out the pain. Don't hit the same spot again and again. And when you're sprinkling the blood, it is an unbelievable imagery over here. When you're sprinkling the blood of the dam of the on Yom Kippur, so it's basically going to be like that. Meaning it's going to be one successive over the other, but they're all going to be above. It's not going to be some above or some below. V'lov v'atanan, the Gemara says, okay, but there's another Mishnah later in this Masechta. He's a mimenal tiarosh mizbech sheva pa'amim. So what you're doing is you're hitting tiarosh mizbech seven times, right? The mizbech apnimi with the blood of the par in the seer of Yom Kippur. So my lav apagdim mizbech. So the Gemara assumes that now tiarosh mizbech. What does that mean? So what we think right now it means is that you're hitting the midpoint of the mizbech apanimi, meaning on the vertical. And kedamri inshi tiar tiara, So who paga the yoma? You know, generally speaking, when we say the tiara yom, we're talking about the midday. So over here, you're hitting the midpoint of the mizbeach. And as Rashi over here points out, right, when you're hitting the midpoint of the mizbeach, right, if Shalat Samson, we can't be perfect. Some is going to go above and some is going to go below. So you're telling me it's unprecedented, and I'm telling you it's not unprecedented. So I'm a Rav Abba Shila lo. So Rav Abba Shila says, you really misunderstood that Mishnah as well. Agufe de mizbeach. No, that's not talking about the vertical of the mizbeach, it's talking about the very top of the mizbeach, the horizontal of the mizbeach. Dichsivu chetam ha-shamayim la-tawar. So the pasuk over there talks about the top, if you will. It's the top of the mizbeach that's going to be sprinkled with the blood. So once again, the Gemara just simply dismisses this idea. It is so unprecedented to take a karban, some of the blood going above the chutah sikra, some blood going below the chutah sikra. That's unprecedented. So to suggest that our hybrid karban tamid, which is part mostly ola, part chatas, now what we're going to do with that second application is go above the chutah sikra. The Gemara says that you just can't do that. It doesn't happen. Maishna, we're on the top of Tezvav Amid Bez. Maishna, do you have Ola Bereshav Ad, do you have the chatas, Nesav Bereshav, chatas Vad, Nesav Ola? I gave away the answer. Well, first let me explain the question. The Gemara says, look, this is a hybrid right now, according to Rabbi Shimon Ishmitzpe. It's part Ola, part chatas. Why don't we start with the first application being two walls, meaning the north and then the east, and then go to the southwest and hit it with one application. Meaning, why do we first do the Ola? It's Ola personality followed by the Chatas. Why don't we reverse it? And by the way, if I may, meaning what's part of the Gemara's question over here is that when we have Chatas Ola, you know which one is always brought first? Chatas always comes before Ola. So over here, if we have a hybrid carbon, so why don't we do it's Chatas nature first, and then we'll do it's Ola nature afterwards. So Nesa Bresha I'm sorry. So Maishna, I'm just going to reread the question. I lost my train. Maishna Diav Ola Bresha Vahad Diav Dechatas Nesa Bresha Chatas Vahad Nesav Daola Keva Da Ola He Kadma Bresha. I gave away the answer before, but it's okay. So the Gemara says primarily it's an Ola. It's right, its fundamental feature is a carbonola. And the chatas is just an attachment, if you will. Umayshan diav mizrachis tzfonis ma'aravis dramas, nesiv dramas mizrachis, vahadar tzfonis ma'aravis. So the Gemara over here says, why specifically those corners? Why not do dramas mizrachis? Why not do the southeast, right? It happens to be, we like the southeast. So why not do the southeast first, and then afterwards go to the northwest? So Amre, so the Gemara says no. Ola tuna yisod v'keren dramas mizrachis lahavi le yisod, because we know that the carbon ola has to have a yisod. Now, as we've gone over this point, we went over this just recently here in our very own mesechta. We go over this point all the time, and that is that the yisod did not go around the mizbech in total, but rather the yisod, the foundation of the mizbech, it jutted out on the north side and on the west side, but not on the south side and not on the east side. Yes, according to conventional pshat, right? We did this in more detail back in the Mishnayos and Midos and in Tamid. According to conventional pshat, there was an ama of the yisod that in the northeast corner went down a little bit, and there was an ama of the yisod in the southwest corner that went eastbound, just an ama. But primarily, there was no yisod on the south, and there was no yisod on the east. And so therefore, the southeast is not going to be an option because the blood needs to hit the yisod. And if I elect it to go to the southeast corner, it's not going to have yisod over there. So, Maishan Diabereshim Mizrach Tzvonis Vahadar Ma'arav is Dromis. So, one last question for today. And that is, why do we start in the northeast and go to the southwest? Why don't we start in the southwest and go to the northeast? So, Nesib Reshim Ma'arav is Dromis Vahadar Mizrach Tzvonis. Kev and Amar Mar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you why. And that is called Pinosha Tapona Lo Yehi Ala Derchimin. So, because, you know, you always make a right turn first. Okay? The Kohen goes up the Kevish, which is on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and what he's instructed to do is make a right turn. Even if he needs to get to the southwest corner, so what you do is you're gonna make a right turn first. Now, granted, by the way, this is always the irony of making that first right-hand turn, and that is it's going to force you to make a left-hand turn from that point going forward. But it doesn't matter. The you make a turn, so your turn is going to be to the right. And so now, follow. You're walking up the ramp, so you're making a right-hand turn that lands you in the southeast corner. Now, again, we can't do the southeast corner because it doesn't have yisod. But what's his next corner that he's going to hit? Northeast, then northwest, and then southwest. So since the general the general corner that the Kohen is going to be confronting first. The first eligible corner that the Kohen confronts first is going to be in the northeast. That's why we sprinkle the blood in the northeast first. So, Lemizrach Bereisha, Ba'u Paga. Umi Mai, I said that was the last question. Okay, I take it back. Umi Mai, de Ba'olahu, de Kamarachmana Avi, Be Maisa Chatas, Vidilma Bechatas, he de Kamarachmana Avi, Be Maisa Ola. The Gemara says, you know, I wonder. You know, according to Rabbi Shimon Shmitzbeh, the carbon ola, the carbon ola of the tamid is going to be invested with a little bit of chatas to it. Hey, I got this idea. How about the carbon chatas on Rosh Chodesh? Why don't we invest it with a little bit of carbon ola? So the Gemara says lo sakadach. The Gemara says no. That's just it's untenable. Dichsiv al alas atamid yes seven isko. So it says al alas atamid, meaning what's modifying what. The chatas is modifying the carbon ola. Umay kamar derachmana midi the chatas shadi a ola. It is the chatas which is modifying the ola, meaning that seems to be the structure of the pasuk. And as a result of that, that's why we're going to conclude that the ola is taking on some of the identity of the chatas, but not the opposite. Carbon chatas of Rosh Chodesh does not take on any of the identity of the carbon ola. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. So I'll try to clarify that better. It's not, the Gemara is not saying that the climbing is part of the avoda. It's just a simon. It's just telling us that because typically when the Kohen does go up the Mizbeach, so he's encountering the northeast before the southwest, so that tells us that in terms of Kedima, the northeast becomes before the southwest. That's all we've got from there. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of, not the end, but yeah, subject-wise, the end of today's daf. Okay, two big topics that we covered today in today's daf. The first topic was the order where the Mishnayos give us a choppy order of what is done on a typical day in the Beis Hamikdash, the Hatavas and Eros, the burning of the Ketores, and there really is an inconsistency in the Mishnayos. Now, yesterday we talked about the inconsistencies between the Mishnayos in Yuma and the Mishnayos in Tamid. Today we talked about the inconsistencies in Yuma itself. And so what the Gemara gave is two basic approaches of how to understand it. Abaye's approach and Rapapa's approach. And really, to properly summarize it, which I'm not going to do now, so you have to go over the machlokas between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim in terms of what is the correct interlude between the cleaning out of the five branches and the two branches of the menorah, where there is going to be an interlude. What the interlude is a machlokas between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. Once you know that, so now you can plug in the various approaches of either Abaye or Rapapa. Okay, that's the first half of today's daf. It's just basically trying to make sense of what seems to be inconsistent Mishnayos. And the second half of today's daf is the carbon tamid according to Rabbi Shimon Shmitzbeh, where he says that the carbon tamid is not a standard carbon ola. The Torah calls it a carbon ola, but it's not standard. It is really unusual, in which it is going to have a split personality of being mostly a carbon ola, but a little bit of carbon chatas as well, based on the Pesukim and Parshas Pinchas. The Gemara entertains this idea of you have this hybrid carbon, so how exactly do you do it? So we know exactly how you do it. The Gemara wants to know, why don't we make a couple of other suggestions? And the Gemara explains why it is that we rejected all other suggestions.